May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson, Mark 5. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. Cause it ever to shine brightly upon your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is so much here. That was my response in reading this gospel lesson earlier this week. There's just so much here in Mark 5 to teach about, preach about, to learn about. How am I on a boiling hot day in Knoxville when I'm sure you don't want a really, really long sermon today? As if you ever really want a really, really long sermon, right? But how am I going to summarize things from Mark 5 here? Let me say three things about this great text. First of all, it teaches us, it shows us in a very vivid way, the pitiful, wretched, helpless, hopeless condition of humanity apart from Jesus. This stands out to me. Our pitiful condition as human beings. In this gospel, we have two very helpless people. And let me back up from the gospel into earlier in Mark 5. In Mark 5, you have three pitiful, helpless people. This isn't part of our gospel today, but earlier in Mark 5, you have a man possessed by many demons who's living out in the tombs. And they can't even chain the guy up because he's too strong. He breaks the chains. He cuts himself up. He's possessed by demons. He's pitiful and helpless. And now in our gospel, we have this woman who has had a flow of blood for 12 years. How sad. She spent a lot of money on health care. We can all get used to that now, huh? Spent a lot of money on health care. Has had many doctors and they can't figure out how to help her. Her condition just gets worse. We feel for her. Because of her flow of blood, she would be ostracized from the Jewish community. It's not just a physical thing in their eyes. It's a spiritual thing. To be ostracized from the temple, where she couldn't be allowed to go to the temple to worship. She was, quote, unclean. She couldn't hang around people, touch people. She shouldn't be around anybody. She's an outcast. Sad. Helpless. And then, worst of all, you have this demon-possessed guy. You got this woman with sickness. Then you have a dead girl. A 12-year-old girl who has died. What a tragedy. In our day, when a young person dies, we're all quite sad. And we want to read about it and learn about it. Where our heart goes out to the parents because a young person just shouldn't die. She's 12 years old. She's soon going to enter womanhood. Back in that day, a girl would get married 15, 16 years old. Her mind's probably on marriage already, having lots of children, being a blessed mother. It's all gone. She's probably quite a popular girl. She's the daughter of the synagogue leader, well known, but she's dead. And it's a helpless situation. The crowd can't help. The weepers and the wailers, they can't help. All they can do is weep and wail. Jairus can't help. He's the synagogue ruler. He can't do a miracle. The physicians can't help. They've been all over the place. The crowd can't help. No one can help. It illustrates for us the wretched, helpless condition of humanity apart from Jesus. When we read this text, we should say, Lord, have mercy. Say it with me. Lord, have mercy. Not, Lord, I'm mighty. We think about that on July 4th. Oh, we're Americans. We're mighty. We're strong. We're humble this July 1st. Lord, have mercy. I'm weak. I'm sick. I'm dying. We had Vacation Bible School this past week, and I helped with some of the games. And there was a little girl about 4 or 5 years old, cute little girl, and she wanted to play Moses, Moses the entire time in VBS. Can we play Moses, Moses? Can we play Moses, Moses? I want to be Moses, Moses. And then one day she said to me, Pastor, I want you to be Moses, Moses. And I said, well, thank you. I can be Moses, Moses? Yes. You be Moses because you're a preacher and you're really old and have gray hair. You can be Moses. Thank you, little girl. I'm only 48. Come on, please. But we're all getting old. We're all losing hair, getting gray hair. Sickness awaits. We all know we're going to get sick one day probably, and no doctor's going to be able to figure it out. And we're all going to end up on the deathbed. What can we really do about it? The helplessness of humanity our condition. But there's a lot more. What this story really illustrates for us is the one guaranteed cure for the condition of mankind. And that one guaranteed cure, the one cure, is Jesus, the person, the Son of God. You have the darkness of Mark 5, all these troubled people, and the light of the world comes. He's among the crowd, right there with them. A God who comes among the sick and the dying and the dead, the demon possessed, right there with them. In all the hopelessness, he's their hope. In the crying and weeping, he's their joy. He's the cure. And note how he cures. What a physician he is. His cure is fast and immediate. When this woman touches his garment from behind, she is healed immediately, we read. Not halfway healed. She doesn't have to go to the hospital and be in ICU for a few days and take more medicine. She's healed immediately. Fast, immediate healing. And Jairus' daughter, he takes her by the hand. Little girl, I say to you, arise. And she arises immediately. She walks around. She eats something. She's fully healthy again. Fast, immediate cure. A complete cure. And notice how he does it. This is what's really key. When Jesus does miracles, he most often always does the miracle with his word and a touch. His spoken word, his mouth he heals, and his touch of his hands. In this case, the garment or his hand touching the little girl's hand. That's how he heals. Many commentators see the woman in the story as a symbol of the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints had the constant flow of blood. I'm talking spiritually now. There was the blood of the sacrifices in the temple that was constant. There was always blood flowing in the temple. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And the blood was flowing. Why? Because the people kept on sinning. And so there was ever another sacrifice, the flow of blood. And it only got worse because Israel got worse. They had many physicians, the prophets, the priests, the kings. But the physicians could not really help them in the end. They couldn't take away sin and stop the flow of blood. And the condition got worse. They fell into idolatry and immorality, the people of Israel of old. But who's the cure for all the people of old? Jesus is the cure. Say it with me. Jesus is the cure. He's the cure for Adam and Eve and Moses and David and all the prophets and all the people of Israel. He's their cure. She touches his garment from behind. You see, the people of old are behind Jesus. They're in the past. They come behind him, and yet they're healed by his garment, which is the Old Testament scripture. They cannot touch his body. He's not here yet. They can touch his garment, which is the Old Testament word. And when they hear that word in the Old Testament and believe that word, they are healed. He heals all the people of the old. His healing is retroactive. And Jairus' daughter represents the New Testament Christian. Dead. 12 years old. 12 a number for the church here. Dead. And yet notice how Jesus heals her. It's very personal. Takes her by the hand. Now you have personal touch. Because he's come in the person now, you see. New Testament, God's become a man. Touches her. Little girl, I say to you, arise. She gets up and she eats. A picture of us getting up and eating soon called communion. And we are well. Christ is the cure for the old and the new for all people. How does he cure? By his word that is spoken. Your sins are forgiven. That cures you. Forgives you immediately, instantaneously. You're forgiven. And the touch of Holy Communion, where we touch his body and touch his blood and eat and drink it, and all our sins washed away, and we have the resurrection of the body, eternal life. It's all ours in Jesus. This story of Mark 5 is repeated in church in First Lutheran today. The word and touch of Jesus, bringing life to all who would believe. You know, I was in Memphis last weekend, and Ann and Abby were with me, and you know what they visited in Memphis? Graceland. Who's been to Graceland? Oh, wow, they were all excited. We're going to go to Graceland, the home of the king. Right? And they go to Graceland, and I'm in the convention. I see them in the afternoon. I say, Ann, Abby, how was Graceland? Was it marvelous, incredible, wonderful, the home of the king? And what was their response? It was okay. And Abby was, it's kind of boring, Dad. Let's go get something to eat. The home of the king? Graceland is boring? Glad I didn't go. I don't think I'd ever go. He's a dead king. For that matter, he was an immoral king. He can't help anybody. The true land of grace is not in Memphis. The land of grace is right here in the church. For the true king lives here. He's not a dead king. He's a living king named Jesus who reigns over the heavens and the earth and cures all diseases and sickness and death itself. And here he is as a living king giving us his grace, his mercy. Even if it's 85 degrees in church, who cares? We have the grace of God in God's church. Finally, there's a command here. We have the condition of humanity, which is bad without Christ. The cure is Christ. Then there's a calling, a command. One calling here, one command in a good sense, is to seek Jesus. This woman is a great example for the church. She has this flow of blood. She is ostracized. She's unclean in their eyes. She should not be in the crowd. She shouldn't touch anybody. She should be away in her home and not spread her uncleanness. And yet, nothing will stop her from coming to Jesus. There's a crowd there, so what? I'm going to go and touch Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. He's my cure, and nothing will stop me. What faith to seek Jesus and know that He's my only hope. May the church have such faith coming to God's house to hear, to touch, because He's my only hope. You know, President Lampe, our district president, who's retiring here soon, he talked to us at the convention, and he noted a couple statistics. He said in a survey done, 6 out of 10 Americans, that's right, 6 out of 10 Americans say the church is not relevant to their lives. And thus they don't go. We got a problem in the church. And the world has a bigger problem. The church is not relevant, they say. We got to teach people this is relevant. Do you think the crowd in Mark 5 would say that Jesus was relevant on that day? I think so. He's pretty relevant. He gives life. He raises the dead. He's their hope. He's pretty relevant. And we got to take the message to the world that this is all relevant because here we have Jesus. Not about us and windows and songs. It's about Jesus. Holy Word and Sacrament. That forgives sins and gives life. Seek Jesus. And then there's a command here also to bring Jesus to other people. You have Jairus' daughter. She's dead. She can't come to Jesus. Jesus has to be brought to her. You see, some people come to the church, they're seeking, and they just come in the door. Some of you are like that. You just come in the door and you're seeking. Praise be to the Holy Spirit who draws you. You weren't invited, you just come. But there are many out there that are dead spiritually. They're just dead. They're not going to come in the doors. We got to take Jesus to them. We got to be like Jairus who begs Jesus, come, come, come to my daughter. She's dying. And then when she's dead, come. We got to be like Jairus. And Jairus here faces persecution. He's the synagogue ruler. We already know that the Pharisees and teachers, they don't like Jesus. And he's one of them. He could be persecuted. How do you invite Jesus to your house? He's a Sabbath breaker. Jairus doesn't care. I need Jesus to heal my daughter. And he brings Jesus into the home. Who can you bring Jesus to this week? It happens as we love people. It happens as we really get to know people out there that are like Jairus, dead in sin, dead in unbelief, and we love them. And we care about them. And we listen to them. And we serve them. And we help them. We're a little Jesus to people. We don't ignore them. Oh, you're not like me. We love people. And we tell them about Jesus. That's bringing Jesus to someone that he may heal them. Then you bring him to church, obviously. President Lampe said that across denominations now, this isn't just a Lutheran church, but across denominations, 85% of churches in America are declining in membership. Half of the churches in America this past year will not baptize or confirm anyone in their church. I don't know about these stats, but their survey's done, I suppose. The church is in trouble. The world's in trouble here in America. We got a mission field right here. Do we care about all the Jairus' daughters out there, the demon-possessed, the sick people out there? Or do we just sit and come and forget about them, quote, the hell with them? How dare we? We are called on to love the world. Bring Jesus to someone. Tell someone about Jesus. Get involved in people's lives and show the mercy of Jesus. This gospel is full of meaning. The condition of humanity We are helpless without Jesus. Even we mighty Americans on July 4th coming up, we're helpless without Jesus. Our country is helpless without Jesus. The cure is Jesus. The command to seek Him, to bring Him to others. May it happen. In Jesus' name, amen.